How have you not seen this?
Seen this. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I'm joined by my guest, Kyle Tolliver.
Hi, Kyle here, gang.
And Tim Myers.
Nailed it.
And we just watched An American Werewolf in London, a horror comedy from John Landis, director of The Blues Brothers, National Lampoon's Animal House, among several other really great, very funny films. For me, this is my favorite werewolf movie of all time, and I do love werewolves. I believe I've probably mentioned that on the podcast. I've actually mentioned this movie several times in past episodes, too, particularly in praise of its practical effects and prosthetics over CGI effects, things like that. And to this day, I've yet to see a werewolf that looks better than the werewolves in this movie. I've never seen a transformation scene that even comes close to this, with the exception of maybe The Howling, which actually came out the same year. Very great movie, very funny. Just the best werewolf film, as far as I'm concerned. So, Kyle, how have you not seen this?
I've actually heard about this movie a lot. Of all the movies I've seen, the very few I've seen, I definitely have seen very little horror movies.
Okay.
When I do catch movies, it tends to be either like that superhero ones or like a comedy. I don't get out to... I'm not the biggest fan of horror, and especially this one. When did it come out?
1981.
Okay, yeah. So that'll explain it, too. So it was just it's been a myth for the longest time until today.
Fair enough. Tim, same question. How have you not seen this?
I really enjoy camp horror movies, but I feel like every time I see a camp horror movie, it's someone else introducing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever actively seeked out anything from the genre, any other than like Evil Dead, I think is the exception.
Okay.
I didn't really know much about this movie, to be honest.
Fair enough. All right. Well, now that you guys have seen it, what did you think?
I thought it was a fun movie. I did really enjoy the transformation scenes. It's a comedy, but not like... It has some, like, reverence for stupid horror movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So definitely appreciated it in that way.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. I liked how they didn't try to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, halfway through and he hasn't even turned into the werewolf yet, I was like, okay, they're gonna take this slow.
Yeah.
Because then I was like, how else would they do it? Because once he finally makes a transformation, that's about it. They have to kill him or he kills himself. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love this movie too. Like, it embraces a lot of the tropes, and Tim mentioned kind of the reverence towards old horror. They even mentioned the Wolfman. Talk about that a little bit. I love too, because I feel like this movie is one of the exceptions, because I know we talked about this when we did, like, The Night of the Living Dead and the Dawn of the Dead movies, about how, like, at some point, like, zombies are going to happen in a world where people know that zombies exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost never happens. Like, Shaun of the Dead is one of the only zombie movies where they acknowledge that zombies exist in popular culture. In this, they're not like, oh, what's a werewolf? Like, they fucking know. Like, the Wolfman exists. Like, obviously, this is a fictional tale, but it exists within a real world with pop culture. So, like, when somebody says, like, a werewolf, a lycanthrope, what the fuck does that mean? And, like, at one point, he even says, like, wait, don't I need a silver bullet? So, like, they acknowledge that this stuff does exist, which I really like, too, because so many movies skirt over that, and they're just like, oh, we don't know anything about this. Like, how can you not fucking know about this? Like, how can fucking Twilight exist and you don't know what a vampire is? Like, how can Interview with the Vampire exist and you don't know what a fucking vampire is? How can Romero have a career at all and you don't know what zombies are in this world? there's like, nope, werewolves are a thing. We know it.
Yeah, it definitely lends itself and it pays off for that last scene, like the last sequence where he's like in the square.
Yeah.
And it pays off because they treat it more like a riot, like this is a riot we have to squash, instead of like, oh, this is a huge event that we have to...
Yeah.
With movies like, you know, like Ghostbusters or similar movies, they're like, okay, what's this grand thing we have to do in order to stop
this? Yeah,
it's
not like this big sweeping final showdown.
It's just like, no, it's a killer, and then we have to kill it, and then that's it. And it gets straight to the point, which lets you focus. For as funny as it was, I think... Like that last sequence, holy shit.
Yeah.
People flying out the windows of cars, people's heads getting run over.
That's exactly what would happen if a werewolf got loose in a public area.
And it was so nice because instead of like, they just had, you know, it was like the lead up, he's a werewolf, they know what it is, we have to stop it somehow, and then immediately cut to that, which made that final sequence so much more like, I was actually like squeamish. Like watching someone, I was like, holy shit, did not expect that. And it captured the suddenness of what would happen.
Well, the horror doesn't come from the wolf so much as it does from like actual, like, this is an actual car crash and people are getting squished up against cars. And like, you spend the whole movie watching, it's like, oh, it's a werewolf. And
yeah.
you know, you kind of take it with a grain of salt, but that last scene is so shocking because, like, oh, that's real, like, carnage happening.
You can only feel so much about a puppet wolf chewing on people, but it's like you can actually feel
the second
something.
You see some cop get smashed between two cars.
Yeah, sandwiched between two cars. It's terrifying.
It's not even just that. The way horror movies treat like the victims, like there's always sort of a little bit of like moralizing to it.
Yeah,
like this movie wasn't as much as most other movies, which sort of take it over the top. But
absolutely,
it's like, oh, this is just a stupid couple who's gonna go have sex, and I don't care if they die because I'm better than you. And
yeah, like here's at least the people that David kills the first time. Here's why they die. Because they wanted to play a prank.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even understand what the prank, but we're going to scare them from behind.
So,
we're going to bust into their house just to scare them.
Yeah. So no monkey shines ever. Then another group, because they're homeless.
Yeah.
Through probably no fault of their own, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I like they even mentioned earlier, like with inflation and everything, and like how expensive groceries are over there. So it's like, you can totally understand. They were just homeless. But nope, they got killed. And then the other dude, for what, working too hard and staying at the office too late?
Yeah, coming home late.
Coming home too late on the tube.
I'm so used to having to judge these people.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm looking for, like, the guys in the vending machine's like, oh, he's probably buying a condom.
Yeah. It's like, he probably, like, was telling all his bros about how he smashed so much pussy last night.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this
typical
is...
Wall Street.
Yeah.
Whatever the British equivalent of that is.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, too, when they bring it back, when he has to actually face his victim.
Yes! Oh, my God.
That's such a... That humanizes him, and then actually... Because he is a monster now.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, hey, you're a monster. It's like, you're the main character of this movie, but you killed these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this guy had a family, and now his family... is like has no father.
Yeah, there's consequences
you have to deal
to
with
it. And I love that. Like, you very rarely get that in a horror film. I just love like the plot element of Jack like coming back and visiting him as like a ghoul.
Yeah.
And like just continually like decomposing and like just looking progressively worse in each scene. And like and of course like it brings a comedic element to it, cuz like he keeps his like, oh, I'm sorry to be upsetting you. Oh, by the way.
By the way.
I know my, like...
I'm a skull.
Yes, that was so good. But, yeah, Griffin Dunn, the guy who plays Jack, like, I love that character. It's so great. And it really is a unique twist to throw into a movie like this.
Well, he was the only one you're supposed to... Because he was, like... talking about hooking up with that girl for the first part of the movie, so I was programmed like, oh, I know how this works.
Yep.
Look for the horny teenager, and that guy is going to die.
But. Yeah. But even then, though, too, like, unlike most other, like, a slasher film or something, he's actually likable.
Yeah.
Like, he sits there, like, talking about it. Like, and that conversation they have very, in the beginning, about, like, the girl they went to high school with and how they graduated now, like, that's conversations that we've probably had.
Yeah.
That we've had.
Yeah.
But, with just between the three of us, with each other, we've had conversations in that vein.
The girl that you know too well to...
Exactly.
Like, pursue romantically.
Yeah. So, like, right out the gate, it's like, yeah, like, he's definitely trying to get laid, but at the same time, like, he's not, like, being shitty about it. Like, it's just, it's a person talking.
Yeah.
Like, it's a conversation that people have.
Well, yeah, that's a problem I've always had with that trope, because it's people holding others to such high standards and, like, punishing them, and it sort of, like, casts you as, like, a god watching horror movies. And,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
kind of messed up.
Yeah, like a movie like Hostel. It's like two guys go to Europe, plain and simply to
spring break in it.
Yeah, spring break in it, and then of course they die, and of course you're like, yeah. It's like, you know what? I'm glad that guy took a blowtorch to your eye because you deserve it. And then you're like, wait a fuck. No, you don't. No one deserves that.
Yeah.
I have done things when I was 19 that are worthy of, like, 12 horror deaths. Stupid and 19.
Yeah. But, yeah, these, like, completely likable characters,
and,
so...
Yeah, totally the opposite in this movie, which I appreciated.
Yeah. Let's talk about... let's just work through from the beginning. We kind of jumped to the end there. Like, the opening of the movie is just Blue Moon over footage of the Moors, like, in the daytime. I think it's a great opening, like... Most horror movies, like, try right out the gate to, like, bring you in with, like, a false scare or something, or, like, it's like you see the very first victim and then it's like title credits, it's like see the title and then just like this beautiful, like, scenic landscape.
Yeah.
And then, like, the first scene is like, oh, hey, these guys are just walking out. Like, if you came into this movie, like, after the title had rolled, like, you wouldn't know you were getting into a horror movie.
Well, it's kind of like The Shining. Like, you think of the opening scene of The Shining, for some reason that's so iconic in my mind.
Absolutely.
But, I feel like he definitely took the direction of the movie very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
There was that scene on the escalator, was awesome.
Where you
could see the werewolf come. It's like the first time you see him.
Yeah. Like, everything. Like, they... I don't think he shows just enough of the werewolf throughout the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly, if you lingered on it any more than you did, like, it, I mean, it does start to fall apart, because it's a fucking werewolf. Like, and that's the thing, too, is, like, for as good as these effects are, like, you're basing it on a thing that probably doesn't exist.
Yeah, at some point a werewolf...
I'm
going to
keep my probably in there.
Yeah.
My fingers crossed.
Yeah. But then, like... But it makes sense. Like, if you do a prosthetic of, like, a person or something, that's more believable, because, these are things that exist. But a werewolf, like, it's going to fall apart, not because of how shoddy it may or may not be, but just because, like, you know that it's not real.
Yeah, at some point it's just going to be...
No matter how good it looks.
It's just going to be a dog.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to lose... it's going to lose its...
A dog with, like, a... kind of cat.
Because you normalize it. Yeah, you normalize it. You're like,
certainly.
Oh, I've seen that before. It's like, now it's just...
Is just like that thing from Neverending Story.
Yeah. the same reason why the gremlins became kind of cute, in a way, towards the end of the movie. It's like, you just constantly see them.
And it's like, oh, it's adorable. He's throwing a saw blade to little Billy.
Well, he does, like, a lot of tricks, too. Like... There's the scene where you think you're about to see the werewolf, and it cuts to a lion.
Yes, that's like, a great cut. A lot of great cuts in this, too. Like, John Landis knows
just
what
plays,
he's doing.
He plays tricks with you. He like, has fun with the direction. It's
he's a phenomenal director. Yeah. He's absolutely one of my favorites.
Except for one cut that bugged me.
Yeah.
Was when he hopped over the zoo wall. And then they froze that frame and cut directly into the girl in their apartment.
Yeah.
Almost as if you were skipping forward a chapter in a DVD. That was a one cut, because it was like literally, okay, this scene's done. Now it's this new scene.
Yeah.
The dream scenes were done super well, too.
Yes, love the dream sequences in this movie.
I mean, obviously those have a reputation of being kind of hack, but like... When it happens, you don't know what happens. Like, did he go back in time? Are we playing with time? And then the second false dream fools you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously you get the first sequence, which is like has been done in so many werewolf movies now. Like I have a joke about it, like they're running through the forest and like waking up next to a freshly killed deer naked.
Yeah.
And then of course like you get that when he wakes up in naked in the zoo in the wolf cage later. The fucking Nazi werewolf dream.
Yeah.
That is one of the funniest scenes, like, just in anything. Because it completely blindsides you. It comes... Like, there's no, like, lead-in for that.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Exactly. And I love it. Like, that's John Landis just being like, oh, we throw this kind of unnerving, but also kind of funny thing. Like, it's kids watching the Muppets.
The fact that they killed the family and then continued... Didn't slit his throat until after they had shot all the fruit in the kitchen.
Set the house on fire.
Alright, we kill your family first. That's done. What else should we do? Oh, shoot the refrigerator? Alright, what else? Let's set your house on fire. Okay, now you can end this line.
Yeah, then wake up, false start, and then Nazi werewolf in the hospital stabbing the British nurse just over and over again. And then him just waking up and just being, holy shit, just completely exhausted from his own subconscious.
And it leads into the great lead-in, because then... Jack comes back. That's the first time you see him as a dead guy. And then you're like, okay, wake up. And then he's like, he's going to wake up. And then it's like, oh, no. It's like, okay, this is the one that's real. Okay.
Yeah.
They have established that Nazi werewolves aren't a thing, but the living dead coming back is real. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they did a good job of doing that. It's just like... That moment of what's real and what's not.
Yeah, the blurring of those lines, it's great. The other thing, too, I love that this does with tropes. This is one of the only times in a movie where they do the adjusting the bathroom mirror thing to reveal something behind somebody, and I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just, like, anytime you see a mirror in a movie now anymore, like, especially a movie, like, it's just like, the killer's gonna be there, we get it, like, Jason's gonna be holding a machete or whatever. But, like, this, it builds to it, you kind of maybe expect it, but at the same time, you're just like, yeah, maybe he's just pissing, and maybe he'll walk out in the living room, and it's like, nope, there's corpsified Jack just hanging in the bathroom, just, hey.
Yeah, and he's never a looming, he's never, like, a doom figure either. He's just kind of like, hey, bud, we need to talk.
He's still his friend. He's like, hey, I'm dead, and it's kind of your fault for making us hike through the moors, but, you know, we're still pals. I even like, too, when all of his victims are suggesting how to kill himself.
Hang
like,
yourself. Yeah. No, too painful for my buddy.
They're like, oh, we don't care. It's like, hey, do you mind? He's a friend. the fact that he still sticks up for his friend is so funny. It's really great.
First thing he says during that pornographic movie they're sitting through is... He turns to him and he's like, nice movie.
I love it.
Hey, my friend who's rotting. My friend from middle school that is rotting at the bones. Let me hit the zinger.
And his zombified expression is perfect.
Yeah, it's just like...
Great film. see you next Wednesday, too. The title of that movie.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
A fake... softcore porn that they shot for this movie.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about this at the end, but now that we brought it up, might as well talk about it.
Yeah, let's.
That porn movie is so amazing.
Great. One of my favorite lines. I thought you weren't ever gonna... Okay. Guy, girl, having sex. Naked guy comes in. Classic porno male.
Mustache.
Yeah, mustache. Huge tribal, like, cross tattoo. Muscular comes in. I thought you weren't gonna do things like this again. And then the guy says, I never told you anything like that. Which is like funny that he's the idiot thinks that he's talking to him. And then he's like, not you, her. I don't know who you are either.
I've never seen you before in my life.
Yeah. My bad.
And then she gets a call later in the middle of the movie. She's like, oh, there's no one here by that name.
That's all right.
It's so good. The Slaughtered Lamb. Let's talk about... I love that. That's one of my favorite, like, introductions to something is off here kind of scenes. Because, like, just the second they walk in the door, like, and just everything stops. And, like, at first you're like, all right, you know, it's not uncommon, especially, like, now that Americans in certain parts overseas... are not necessarily welcomed because it's one of the places where we're the outsider. But then, like, they get everything going, like, and like the The lady at the bar is cold to them. She's like, oh, we don't have this. She's like, if you want something hot, you can have tea. Oh, do you have any? No. But I can make something you'd like. And then, like, they're all, they mention the Alamo, and they get talking about John Wayne, and it seems like they're all bonding, and then Jack has to blow it by asking about the fucking pen angle on the wall, and then they just kick him out to their doom.
Yeah, and even that is, kind of fits in with the rest of the film, because yeah, it's not like, oh, like, something, these guys are the weirdos. I think the doctor sums it up later on. He says, I never seen such a strange case of mass neurosis.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. It's not that they're like cult leaders or that they summon the werewolf. It's just the fact that there's a werewolf going on and they know, and it's just a mixture of guilt and just like fright. Like they don't want to go outside because they know it's coming and they just sent these kids to their death.
Yeah.
But like, what else are they going to do? Go out themselves? No. Yeah. Fucking insane.
Well, and then the one guy even has the line, he's like, what, you want the whole world should know our business?
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is like, the guy that's the werewolf, if he's that close, odds are it's probably somebody they know. Maybe even a friend that they end up having to gun down when they do in the very beginning.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, there's that too, because like, and we see that at the end of the movie when Alex goes down that alley, like, and she says, I love you to werewolf David.
Mm.
And like, and there's that moment of realization before he goes to attack and then he's gunned down. And like, no, that makes sense. Like, yeah. Why would you want to go out and kill somebody if you know him? Like, I think we'd all like to think that we'd kill somebody we loved if they were a werewolf. But when he figures on the trigger, he might be like, oh man, we had some good times together. The sex was pretty good.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's like, or maybe like, man, remember his... We went bowling that one night and just fucking shot at beer bottles. What a great friend.
Yeah. Remember when we had sex and listened to Van Morrison?
Yes. Oh.
That's, I think, because also that is what sets off all the events. It's like, if they let the werewolf go around this small village and just kill people, that's fine. Nothing's going to happen.
Yep.
They may be undead, but they don't know. It seems like they don't know about that yet.
Yeah.
But as long as a werewolf fully kills them. But what started it was the fact that they saved, someone survived.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that obviously, like, that's the order of the day. They've accepted that's a situation, and they've clearly been controlling that probably for some time now.
Right.
And then what fucked it up was outsiders passing through. And realistically, they could have just avoided the whole thing if they just kept those guys in the bar all night.
Yeah, and that's what did it too. It's like, that's what's so nice. It's not a creepy like cult, like backwoods like strange people. It's just like, all right, we have two choices. We can either keep them in, or we can let them go out and die. But if we do anything in between, it's gonna mess things up.
Yep.
And sure enough, it did.
And it does. Yeah, they send a werewolf to a fucking major populated area,
and it eats at them. And you see it
when
it comes back.
You can see them trying to rationalize it. Like, well, it's in God's hands now. It's not
our exactly.
Fault. They're going to be dumb and sing some stupid Roman song and skip off into the countryside.
Yeah. Well, and then it finally does come when Dr. Hirsch goes back. That one guy spills the beans on it.
Mm.
Because, like, and like, even when he's sitting in the bar, like, you can see, like, he just feels guilty as shit about the whole fucking thing to the point where, like, he leaves and then just reveals everything without really revealing anything.
Yeah, it's a classic like horror story. It's like, hey, I'm not gonna tell you he's gonna be a werewolf. I will tell you he's gonna change. And it will be due to the full moon. I'm not gonna say it's a werewolf, but some strange things are gonna happen.
Shit's gonna go down.
Not gonna tell you what it is. You can figure it out, right? Okay, not gonna say he's a werewolf.
Yeah.
He is gonna be different.
One of the other things I love too, the score in this movie is fucking amazing. I love the score. It's Elmer Bernstein. The same guy did the score for Ghostbusters, which is one of my favorite scores, obviously. But also,
you can't see Dustin's face light up when he says Ghostbusters.
But also, as far as like the actual pop soundtrack, like the actual songs used for this movie, they all tie to the moon somehow.
Oh yeah.
And Werewolves of London existed by this point, and John Landis is like, that's far too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like Blue Moon, Moon Dance, Bad Moon Rising. There, I think there are three versions of Blue Moon in this film. And there's one or two other songs that I'm forgetting, but they are all tied
together. Yeah, because the original one wasn't the one in the beginning wasn't Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
It was a different one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a couple of different versions, but they're all great.
I still would have liked Werewolves of London.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fantastic song.
Oh, I absolutely love that song. But then, too, like, you look at it, where does that fit? Where the song doesn't become the punchline.
Yeah,
second credit. Second credit song.
Oh, yeah.
That's a throwaway song. Just put
Look,
it in.
That's right.
Tim, there's no point where David goes to Trader Vic's. All right? Yeah, his hair was perfect, but he wasn't trying to get lethal.
No Chinese food.
Yeah.
Not a single...
No Chinese food. None of it. I'm trying to remember the other things that the Werewolf of London did. Perfect hair, Trader Vic's, Lee Ho Fuchs.
I don't know.
We've covered the majority of
that's a good. Yeah, that's a good point, because the best part in the movie would have been when he was running around London, which would have taken away all seriousness.
Yeah,
would have
completely undercut that.
And then instead, what they do, they showed people dying to silence. Just
yeah,
the sound
like,
of crunching metal.
Yeah.
There's hardly any back, like, spooky
noises.
There's no
non-diegetic sound.
Yeah.
It's all, like, sound from within that world.
It starts ridiculous, and we're talking about this scene a ton, but it starts ridiculous with, like, the person's head comes off, and the old woman screaming. You're like, of course, she's just standing and screaming. That's what the old woman does in that scene. And then it gets progressively, like, more
real. As soon as that double-decker swings around, you can just feel how heavy that...
Yeah.
buses and you're like, that bus is gonna murder someone, and then they crash and it's like, okay, people see the crash, they're gonna start stopping now, and then the cop gets thrown off the motorcycle, like all this stuff happens, and then just keeps happening
chaos,
like, okay, stop, and then it cuts to someone like going through a window, and then cuts back to seven more cars.
Yeah, like the body count for the film is probably close to tripled in that scene.
Yeah.
And directly, the werewolf only actually causes one of those deaths, the second he gets out of the theater.
Yeah. Yeah, he literally chops a guy's head off.
Yep.
And then everything else is...
That's the last person he kills.
And it's caused through pure panic, which again goes to that, like, this is a riot. This isn't a supernatural event. This is just playing out.
This is people responding not fast or too poorly to just chaos.
Yeah. And then you kind of get it from the outside the theater when the cops are like, go away, and people keep trying to clear a monster here, and people are like, what? And it's like, no, get out of here.
And they're just fucking rubbernecking like a bunch of dum-dums. One thing I wanted to mention, too, the dude that gets hit by the car and knocked through the window, John Landis.
Oh, is it?
Has a nice little cameo in there as himself, as the dude getting... punch through a
window. That's the way to do a cameo.
I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah, be one of the many people.
Don't seem too self-serious.
Yeah.
I'm willing to get thrown out through a window real quick.
I commit.
Can we talk about my least favorite part of this
movie? Yes, let's.
The nurse and David's relationship is so absurd. The entire thing.
See, I don't know.
Every time I want to
hear your thoughts, and then I'll offer my thoughts.
Every time she's like, he's in a hospital bed, and she's like, I'm a werewolf, and she's like, haha,
yeah,
you should live with me. And he just does all this like aberrant behavior. He comes home naked in a woman's coat.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm so happy to see you. He's being so normal.
Yeah.
And then like at the end, like there's like police are keeping everyone away.
Yeah.
And somehow she just gets to run in the alley and run right up to the werewolf.
Yeah,
she charges. They try to train her for four rifles. Yeah. Like she falls onto them and then gets up and keeps running. And like, I don't know about
it
you.
Still
I'm not about
ridiculous.
To chase a woman down an alley where there's a werewolf at the end of it.
Yeah, I think.
Or, they don't know it's a werewolf, but some animal that has just caused a lot of people to fucking die.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really understand the basis of her relationship, except for like she wants to nurse this guy forever.
I think there's the obvious wanting to fix damaged people.
Yeah.
Which I think almost lots of us have been guilty of in the past. I'm sure we've all had that one person in our life. We're like, oh no, we can fix this person, or maybe we've been the person who needed fixed.
Probably.
Coldplay wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
But on top of that, too, I think Alex, the nurse, I think her character is very lonely, which I think plays a huge fucking part of it. Because, like, you look at that apartment, like, and she's like, yeah, I'm a working girl. Like, she clearly works a fucking lot, which I'm sure cuts into it. But also, like, and she's mentioned, like, she's only had, like, 7 lovers. Half of them weren't even serious. And, like, and that's, like, that's not a bad number by any rate, I'm sure. But, like, she definitely, but it's probably been a while. Like, and that's the vibe that I get from that character. And at least for me, speaking from long stretches of loneliness, you are willing to overlook some really messed up shit.
You are, but she seems ditzy instead of desperate. Like, I guess that goes into the camp nature of the movie.
That's too to a point, I guess.
Yeah, I would have understood maybe before his first transformation, when he's like, I'm a werewolf. I can understand being like, no, those aren't real. And I can understand her just, like, ignoring it. But then after he comes home in a woman's, nothing but a woman's jacket, that's a little tougher.
Well, I think after that point, that, like, that's not even, I think that's her trying to, like, just make sure that he goes with her back to Dr. Christian. Like,
yeah, maybe that's,
like,
yeah,
that's like, yeah, he showed up, like, in the woman's coat or whatever. But, I mean, like, him showing up in a woman's coat is not the weird part of that sentence. Mm. The weird part is, I woke up naked in the zoo.
Yeah.
Because after you wake up naked in the zoo, stealing a woman's coat that's laying around so you're not running through the streets of London naked, that's the rational part of that.
But not even where did you get that coat?
Yeah,
not even, like, addressing the coat.
And then the fact that he did say, he's like, the reason why I'm wearing it is because I woke up naked in the zoo.
Yeah, then you're like, okay, well, that explains that, and now the coat is no longer the troublesome part of this equation.
Right, yeah, but I'm talking, it's like, he clearly wasn't doing normal things the night before. And
no, absolutely
just the fact
not.
That, like, yeah, maybe she did, like, keep her mouth shut just so she can continue with the plan and get him to the hospital.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, maybe it just didn't come, for me, it didn't come off this way in the film. She didn't seem, like, worried at all. It was just like, okay, you did something weird, now off to the hospital.
Yeah, it was just too much, we're always a happy couple. It's always happy.
Yeah, it did skip a lot. There was a lot less moments of, like, I'm at least a little worried, and just way too many moments of friskiness, like, oh, how come you're so horny right now? It's because he's literally part dog.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Oh, why does he want to fuck? Because he's a part canine right now.
Because he's just raging, right? Fresh off a murder
boner. Murder boner. Why do I feel so good? You had several human types of human meat.
Yep.
You had sex with a dog and you liked it. It's kind of messed
crushed
up.
It. Yeah. I mean, those are valid points. She doesn't seem like she's overly concerned with some stuff. But I think that's largely, I really think she's just resigned herself to this dude is weird. But, and she even says at one point too, like, I feel kind of sorry for you, but I can't help being attracted to you.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, really, that's why I get laid, because of that sentimentality from women.
That was a great line, and I like how he didn't even react to that.
Yeah. I was like, women have said something pretty close to that to me, and I've been like, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Say the second half again.
I think one of my...
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yes. I think one of my favorite things, like, just because I'm so fucked up and weird, like, one time my girl said something to the effect of me, she's like, I like you because I'm sick of meeting new people. But I totally understood where she was coming from, because I'm sick of meeting new people.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is beautiful. When are we getting married? Like... So I totally understand, and I think that's two damaged people. Yeah. I think that's what it is. Really.
I know you're a terrifying monster at night, but I have spent the last 4 weeks taking care of you. So, you know, we already have so much backstory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and sometimes, you know, you get lonely.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, I've been involved with girls who think that horoscopes are a reliable source of anything, and that zodiacs mean a goddamn thing. I think that's weirder than dating a girl who would tell me that she is a werewolf.
Are we all just going to share stories now of the weirdest dates we've had?
All mine have been fantastic.
Yeah. Stupid, perfect Tim and Kyle. Sorry you guys aren't damaged and weren't attacked on the moors and turned into a fucking murder dog.
I've got needs, Dustin.
Where are we at? We're probably at the transformation scene.
Oh my
right?
god, the transformation. Oh fuck yes we do. That scene is so goddamn good.
I didn't like the transformation at first because I was like, oh, this is just kind of very like disjointed and kind of weird.
Painful looking.
But then yeah, and then I was like, oh well that's the point.
Yeah, oh,
the point is that he has to feel his spine literally stretch.
Yeah. What would it be like to literally just completely change into a different thing? Oh, right. Fucking awful.
Yeah. I was like, I don't like how it literally just looks like his palm stretched 12
yeah,
inches.
Yeah, that
was
the hardest
like,
part for me.
And then I was like, oh, wait, that's probably what it would look like if all of a sudden your skeleton completely changed shape inside of you.
Yeah, it's great. And the only other transformation scene that I think that's really on par with this is in The Howling. Which I mentioned earlier, and it's very much the same kind of thing. Like, you watch it, and it's just watching this person's skeleton, like, completely extend, and then just, like, in pain, like, just suffering through it. It's like, yep, nope, that's... Being a werewolf would be a lot of fun if you never had to change from a human into a werewolf ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Animorphs made it seem so easy and painless.
That's because Animorphs is full of fucking shit. Sorry, Animorphs, you're not scientifically sound, you fucking liars.
Hey,
I'm going to turn into a dolphin, but keep a human skeleton.
Yeah.
Fuck yourself.
People just bought those books because on the cover you could see what happens between a human and a dolphin.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this looks fun.
Yeah.
This looks cool. Hey, oh, nope, now you have a dorsal fin. Tell me how fun that feels growing into your spine.
I think South Park did it the best when, what was it, Randy had surgery to become a dolphin.
Oh.
that captured the pain pretty well. If we're talking about human dolphin transformations and no longer talking about human dog transformations.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if we have that, then we clearly were skipping over Twilight, which shows that you can transform into a dog in literally 1.2 seconds.
Literally the time it takes you to jump through the air, rip off your shirt, and before your paws even hit the floor.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to fault this movie too much after remembering that in Twilight, a werewolf falls in love with a baby for some reason.
Yep. After it imprints.
Yeah.
We apologize for all the notes we made on that on that love scene. Now that we realize that it's probably the most down to earth.
Yeah, very realistic.
It's not team baby fuck.
This is my apartment. I live alone. I don't fuck a whole lot. I'm gonna take a shower. Bam! Smash cut to Van Morrison and getting down. That's pretty much how it's always happened for me. It's like, oh, we're here. We didn't intend for something to happen, but, you know, one thing leads to another.
Yeah. I'm never listening to Van Morrison around babies ever again.
Like, oh, yeah, brown eyed girl. Oh, it's just babies. Uh-oh. Look out, babe. We're about to fly into the danger zone.
Oh, boy.
Get your landing permit. The helipad is my
problem. Yeah, there's that moment where she's like, do you just want to watch the telly while I go take a shower? And I was like, oh, you know you ain't going to watch the telly, dude. And then like, so then I was like, hell yeah, man.
Oh, I think you misunderstood. See, in England, telly means fuck me up against the shower.
Okay.
That's a pretty bold starting move, the shower. That's a pretty precarious situation.
Yeah, it's like, don't you want to understand how, like, everything works, like, between the two of you dry first?
Let's try this with traction first.
Yeah.
Standing up.
Hey, you know, right out the gate, let's throw some water into the mix.
I also was very, just like the sensualness of the love scene. And I was like, oh, of course you aren't going to see her boobs. I was like, you know what? You probably won't see any boobs in this entire movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, you will, but it has to be in the very comedic
yep.
porno theater.
You do see her boobs during the sex scene.
Oh, I guess maybe. Not clear. Yeah, you not do. Not very clear, I guess.
Yeah. No, you absolutely see them clearly. Yeah. Once they take it to the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And especially after
but it's all up in those shadows.
Shouldn't she take the shower after you do it in the bedroom?
You would think so. But yeah. She just got off work. So she probably smells like a hospital.
That's true.
So that makes sense. But, I mean...
And also, he just got out of a hospital.
Yeah.
So he definitely smells like a hospital.
I think the important takeaway here is that we're never going to be able to listen to Van Morrison without equating it to just eating pussy really good, guys.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. I also love how just sex scenes in movies are always like, oh no, I know we just did it. But it's like, of course I'm going to go down.
Oh, yeah.
There always has to be a little extra. And I like how he gave the wink to the ladies this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that isn't usually it's the other way around. So, you know, good for him.
It's progressive.
Hey, and you know what? Sometimes, like, it's been a while for her, as you mentioned. It's been at least a month for him, because he, like, I don't imagine he got laid the night of the werewolf attack.
It's so weird that when you said it's been a while, that Stain song popped in my head.
It's been a while. Now I sing country songs. Da, da, da. Do you guys know that?
No.
The lead singer of Stain is now a country artist.
His name is Aaron Lewis.
Aaron Lewis.
And he's no longer on the outside.
And fuck you guys for reminding me that song exists. It's one of those ones that I had actually managed to block from my memory, suppressed it, if you will.
That's really the only Stain song other than the one I mentioned earlier that I've already forgotten somehow.
Outside.
Are you referring to their first hit single?
It's been a while.
Shovel?
Oh, yeah. No.
That one's best.
I own Dysfunction, bro.
Yeah, you're
I saw Stain when they were on the HBO original program Reverb.
Yeah, your life goes well until you remember Mudvayne was a thing. And then you just have to stop in your track and just think a little bit.
I tried listening to Deftones' White Pony the other day because I like love that album in high school.
Oh, no.
But the lyrics are totally irreconcilable.
Yeah. No, I can still get down with most Deftones. I think maybe that's the last.
I can listen to new Deftones now that he's like 40 and not singing songs about like kidnapping women.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, they're getting tattoos and
yeah. I remember his MySpace page was just his top 8 suicide girls.
Anyways, you know, back on to the we got an American werewolf here in London.
Yep. Deftones did the soundtrack.
Please let that be a thing on the remake.
Just recut American Werewolf in London, and literally the only song is My Own Summer.
Summer.
It's like, yeah, we're gonna go to London this summer. Yeah, God is moving its tongue. What the fuck does that even mean?
Wouldn't it be pretty sweet if when he stole that woman's jacket, it was like, I dressed you in her clothes.
Hey, you want to hear this love scene to Minerva, huh?
Yeah. That song's so great. That song is beautiful.
Also, I can't think of Minerva real quick without thinking the last boss battle of True Crime Streets of L.A. You guys ever play?
I have not.
When you fight the triad leader, it's literally just one fist final on top of a skyscraper. the whole time my nerve is playing. Oh, that's a piece of art. You guys check it out.
Go back to school.
Yeah, Dr. Hirsch is getting ready to drive to East Proctor in the remake. Oh, Be Quiet and Drive comes on.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Suddenly you're on the Southtown bus.
Alright, now you're crossing over bands. Now you're jumping you didn't say POD was part of the deal.
I think we all get that we're geniuses, so...
Oh, yeah, we all know.
I think we all... What we're trying to say is Hollywood. Get at us.
Yep, give us a call.
I think what we're saying is we need a new podcast where we just comment on POD videos instead.
How have you not seen the Static X video?
Just a podcast where we do nothing but talk about the scene in The One where Jet Li fights Jet Li while Blood Brothers by Papa Roach plays. I feel like that sums up so much of the tenure of the friendship between the three of us.
It's like, no, this movies. Episode on things you forgot existed, Cradle of Filth.
Oh!
Boxcar Racer. I feel like that's worthy of at least 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I loved your name drop on that during the scene in this movie where it's literally just all leopard-headed British punks. Just.
It looks like if I had gone to an anti-flag show, but 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because now, because I went to an anti-flag show recently, and everybody just looked like us. Just white dudes with beards and glasses wearing button-ups and regular t-shirts.
Yeah.
Because we're like, we don't need to look like a cheetah.
Yeah.
To do this anymore. We don't need to have Liberty Spikes, because who can afford that much glue in this economy? Yeah.
We're like the new metal version of 70s hippies.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't reconcile this. All right, let's...
Seether?
Seether. All right, look. Look, we could literally do this all day. Let's redirect here. I think we fit on just about everything that I wanted to with this movie. This is seriously... This is my absolute favorite werewolf movie. It's one of my favorite horror movies. It is in my top 10 movies of all time. I fucking love this movie. It's always been one of my favorites. So let's wrap it up with our favorite moments. Tim?
Well, I already gave my favorite moment, so I just thought I would throw out an interesting thing I heard about horror movies a while ago. Or this article about how the politics at the time, there's a correlation between zombie movies and vampires. But I feel like vampires and werewolves are kind of in the same camp. So if it's a zombie movie, that sort of represents more like a conservative Republican, following mindlessly in consumerism.
Yeah, consumer culture.
Whereas like werewolves and vampires are more like liberal, like super sexualized.
Absolutely.
In vampires' case, they're super effeminate.
Yeah.
So I don't think that really works for this movie because it seems more nuanced than a lot of newer horror movies that sort of follow those tropes.
Yeah, certainly.
Just thought that would be an interesting thing to bring up.
Yeah. Kyle?
My favorite part has to be the line of the little boy. Wish I could do a better British accent for this to really deliver it. But he goes up to, I assuming, if it's his mom, that's still funny. I hope it's not. I hope it was a stranger. And he goes up to the stranger at the zoo and says, a weird American man stole my... Or what did he say?
A naked
American man stole my balloons.
Yes.
and then it's just her going, what? And it just cuts away.
Then you see David doing like a Benny Hill run with the balloons in front of him. And then like, without even slowing down, like just yoinks that woman's coat off the bench.
Yeah.
And just runs right all the way through the frame.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny when you get out of that camp perspective, it's like there's a naked man in that bush trying to take a child's
Yes.
That's so messed up.
hey kid. I'll give you a pound for those balloons.
Why would you do that? I'll tell you the truth. I'm the balloon thief. Why would you pay me if you're a thief?
He
conned them out of balloons.
I was like, I'll explain why. And just steals the balloons. And then the kid's just thoroughly impressed. He's like, all right, he tricked me. He got me.
I almost wish there had been a yoink sound effect when he grabbed the balloons. That code was so good. I think for me, like, the first 10-15 minutes, when they get out of the truck, like, when they go to East Proctor, up until the end of the attack, I think that is one of the most perfect, like, setups for a film, like, a horror film especially, that I've ever seen. Like, it builds the tone perfectly, like, even though you go in knowing, like, yeah, this is, like, a horror movie, like, it never feels like you can almost let your guard down and be like, oh, maybe nothing bad's gonna happen. They're just backpacking, and then you get to the village, and then like you're kind of on alert again, and then like by the time it gets to the scene where they do get attacked, you're like, all right, this is where it's going, and it's just done so effectively. The suspense really builds, like it's just very well done.
Yeah,
and then the final scene, anytime that Jack's character is on screen, I fucking love it. I think Griffin Dunn, the actor who plays him, is very funny. And David Naughton, of course, as David Kessler, is hilarious as well. I'm very great for this role. From the porno theater to the end, like, and then the moment where Alex approaches him, and you kind of get like that King Kong thing, almost like that was Beauty Killed the Beast moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it because it ties back, because he even says, like, I only think a werewolf can be killed by someone who loves them.
Yeah.
And while she doesn't directly do it, like she draws them out. Yeah. And it's like, look, man, love's gonna get you in the end, guys.
Oh, shit.
That's the takeaway here.
Yeah, and it's on a bum note.
Yeah. So maybe stop leading with your heart, you fucking dummies.
Yeah. Build up those walls.
Yeah. Never let anyone in because you never know who might be a werewolf in your life.
Good night and good luck.
Yep. We're going to wrap it up there. Kyle, Tim, thank you guys so much for coming on and doing this.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.